Have you ever found yourself, wading through all those commercial real estate headlines, trying to figure out what's really moving the needle, especially when things seem so, well, mixed?
It can definitely feel overwhelming sometimes. So much data, so many different signals.
Exactly. Well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the deep dive. What we do here is sift through all that news articles, research, our own notes, and really distill it down.
We try to pull out the most important insights, the key takeaways, specifically for you, our listeners.
And today, we're doing a crucial deep dive into the Dallas-Fort Worth market. We're putting a special spotlight on its retail sector, which is just incredibly active right now.
But we won't stop there. We'll also look at the bigger picture, the economic currents, the new rules, things that are shaping the entire CRE industry.
Our goal is simple, really, to give you a shortcut, a way to be exceptionally well-informed about the trends defining this landscape, especially here in Texas.
And hopefully help you spot where the real opportunities might be hiding. It's about understanding the why behind the shifts, not just the what.
Okay, so let's unpack this. The first thing that honestly just jumps right out is a genuinely surprising story coming out of Texas retail.
It really is. Texas isn't just part of the new retail construction boom, it's actually leading the entire country, basically rewriting the playbook.
We're talking about figures like approximately 17 million square feet of retail space currently under construction across the state. That's huge.
Think about that for a second. That number represents about one-third of all the retail development happening nationwide. It's a massive vote of confidence.
But let's zoom in, because this is where it gets really relevant for a lot of you. The Dallas-Fort Worth area, DFW alone, account for 7.2 million square feet of that, as of Q3 2025.
Wow. And that's not just random growth, is it? It's tied directly to what's happening on the ground.
Absolutely. It's a direct result of DFW's booming regional economy, its really strong population growth, and all the people moving here. That inbound migration is huge.
So more people, more jobs equals a real tangible need for more places to shop. New shopping centers, strip malls, you name it.
It fundamentally positions Texas, and DFW in particular, as the clear leader in retail real estate development for 2025 and probably beyond.
That's a critical observation. And what's fascinating, if we connect this to the bigger picture, is how it reflects these deeper demographic and economic shifts. It's not just surface-level growth.
Right. Well, lots of markets are, struggling with higher financing costs, construction costs, things that slow projects down.
DFW seems to be humming along almost on a different frequency. That surge in construction, it really speaks volumes about developers' confidence in the long haul here.
They're not just building on spec, are they? They're responding to a need they can actually see and measure.
Precisely. They seem almost immune to some of the headwinds felt elsewhere. It's less speculative, more responsive.
And that deep confidence, it isn't just fueling brand new buildings. It's also driving really strong investment in existing high-performing properties, too.
We've seen some significant deals backing that up, haven't we?
We have. Like Westwood Financial buying shops at Stone Creek. That's an 80,000, almost 81,000 square foot grocery-anchored center out in Rockwall, right in the DFW Metroplex.
And the details on that one are telling.
Yeah, it's 100% leased, anchored by a really busy Tom Thumb supermarket. And it's got, a good mix of service and food tenants, too.
That's exactly the kind of asset investors are looking for right now, especially in high-growth suburbs like Rockwall, stable, income-producing.
It's a clear signal, isn't it? The logic seems simple. Where people and houses are booming, retail demand follows, reliably.
Exactly. That acquisition perfectly captures the strategy for many Sunbelt-focused REITs and private investors right now. They want these well-leased neighborhood centers.
You see them as resilient,
Yep.
right? Income-producing assets in what can still feel like a slightly uncertain national economy.
It's a flight to quality, a
Oh, yeah.
flight to stability. And there was another example, too, strengthening that DFW story.
Right, the Disney Investment Group deal. They brokered the sale of Mockingbird Central Plaza. That's a what, nearly 80,000 square foot urban infill center in Dallas proper.
And that one was 98% leased. Again, remarkably strong. These aren't just one-offs. They really show how desirable, well-located DFW retail is.
Even in a market where you definitely still need to pick your assets carefully.
Absolutely. Location and tenant mix are crucial, but the demand in DFW is certainly there.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because DFW retail is clearly booming, kind of defying national trends.
But the broader retail story across the country is, well, it's more complicated. It's a story of adaptation, innovation, and sometimes struggle.
Definitely seen some fascinating strategic moves. Take Aldi, the discount grocer. Their expansion plans are, frankly, ambitious.
What are they up to specifically?
They're targeting Manhattan, opening their first Times Square store, a 25,000 square foot flagship set for 2026.
Times Square, wow, that's a statement.
It is. And it's not a typical big box Aldi. It's a scaled down urban format designed for that dense foot traffic, focusing on affordable essentials.
Makes sense for that environment. Quick in, quick out, get what you need.
And this isn't just one store. It's part of Aldi's bigger plan. Over 200 new U.S. stores by end of 2025, and an incredible 800 new stores by 2028.
That's huge growth. Their model seems really well suited to the current climate.
It's a textbook example of smart adaptation in retail, you know, and it reflects that broader trend we're seeing. Grocery-anchored centers, fast casual dining, services people need in person, they continue to do well.
We saw retail trade sales nationally were up 3.3% year over year, right? So spending is happening.
It is. But it's the type of retail and the format that's clearly evolving. It makes you wonder, what is it about Aldi's approach that lets them thrive while others struggle?
That is the critical question, isn't it? It really highlights the split we're seeing in retail. Aldi's focus on efficiency, on value. That resonates.
Especially in high-cost, high-traffic urban areas.
Exactly. They figured out that a simpler, quicker shop for everyday essentials at a good price is what many consumers want now. Convenience and cost.
But it does raise that bigger question you mentioned.
Right. What happens to the more traditional retail models when habits shift so dramatically towards value, convenience, maybe more specialized experiences? Not everyone is making that pivot successfully. That's the challenge.
And that brings us directly, unfortunately, to the other side of the retail coin. A really stark contrast.
You're talking about the Claire's news.
Yeah. Claire's, you know, the accessories place for tweens. They're closing nearly 300 stores nationwide. It's their second Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing in less than 10 years.
Oof. That's tough. And it includes their sister brand, Icing, too, right? About 60 locations.
Correct. It's a painful but really clear example of a retailer struggling to adapt to these massive shifts we're talking about.
What are the analysts pointing to as the main reasons?
It's kind of a perfect storm, really. The ongoing decline of traditional malls, intense competition from online fast fashion, ThinkShein, places like that.
Plus supply chain issues, I imagine.
Yep, persistent supply chain disruptions. And maybe the toughest one. Teens just aren't as interested in those mall brands like they used to be. Habits have changed.
It's a stark reminder. Even as parts of retail are booming, others are under immense pressure. Evolve or well?
Or risk being left behind, exactly. Oh. And even the big players, the leading retail REITs like Macerich, they're constantly making strategic adjustments, sometimes painful ones, just to try and navigate these changes and stay relevant.
It's a constant state of flux for many in the sector.
So, okay, given this whole dynamic picture booming DFW retail national adaptation, some struggles, what does it all mean for DFW's overall commercial real estate health? Beyond just retail.
It seems clear the momentum isn't confined just to retail shelves, right?
Not at all. The broader market here is just as compelling. In fact, Dallas-Fort Worth was ranked number one. The top spot in the Urban Land Institute's, the ULI's, top 10 markets to watch for 2025.
Number one, that's not just a nice headline. That signals serious confidence from industry leaders about future investment, future development across the board.
It really does.
Yeah.
And you see that confidence playing out in major corporate moves, which are boosting the office sector, even while the national office picture is, you know, challenging.
At the Scotiabank news, that was significant.
Huge. Scotiabank, one of North America's top 10 banks, setting up a regional HQ in Dallas's Victory Park. They leased 133,000 square feet, four floors.
And there were incentives involved, weren't there, to help attract them?
Oh, yeah. $2.7 million from the city of Dallas, another $10.8 million from the state of Texas. Big numbers.
Yeah.
But this isn't just about filling office space.
It's about jobs, too. High-paying jobs.
Exactly. Expected to create over 1,000 new jobs. It just underscores DFW's pull, its magnet status for these big corporate relocations. It's that mix. Skilled workers, business-friendly climate, quality of life.
And connecting that to the bigger picture, DFW's appeal isn't just about incentives or jobs alone. It's this whole ecosystem, right? It attracts major players and makes them want to commit.
It feels self-reinforcing sometimes.
It does. That Scotiabank deal combined with the retail construction boom we talked about, it paints a really holistic picture of regional strength. Dallas's talent pool, the proactive business environment, those are key draws.
Offering a resilience that many other office markets just don't have right now.
For sure. And if you drill down into prime office submarkets within DFW, like Preston Center, the numbers are striking. A vacancy rate of just 3.9%.
That's incredibly low in today's climate. Speaks volumes about the demand for that high-quality, well-located space here.
Absolutely exceptional.
Okay, so this vibrant ecosystem, attracting companies, fueling retail, it's not just about work and shopping. It's fundamentally changing how people live here, too. You see it in mixed use and multifamily?
That seems to be the next logical piece.
Definitely. Endeavor Real Estate Group, they're based in Austin, just bought Preston Sherry Plaza. That's a well-known mixed-use office and retail building in the Park City's area of Dallas.
Prime location. How's the occupancy?
93% leased. Very strong. And what's really striking is that these lifestyle mixed-use centers, like Preston Sherry Places with walkable amenities, that integrated feel, they're in super high demand.
Commanding higher rents, I bet.
At this, a 32% rent premium over typical Class A offices. It's a clear signal from the market. People want amenity-rich, integrated places to live and work.
That premium is substantial. It shows the value placed on that kind of environment.
And the residential side of that equation,
Yeah.
equally strong. DFW is seeing incredible growth there too.
In terms of new apartments.
Yeah. The Dallas Metro ranks second in the entire country for new apartment construction, expected in 2025. Almost 29,000 new rental units anticipated.
Wow. How does that compare to the rest of Texas?
That number alone is 35% of the state's total new apartment supply. It's significantly more than Houston and San Antonio combined.
So Dallas is really driving the multifamily construction statewide.
It is. And you see developers acting on it. Like the NRP Group breaking ground on a 370-unit luxury community in Carrollton, another strong DFW suburb,
Yeah.
just illustrates the sheer volume and quality being built.
So we've covered work, shopping, living. What about the infrastructure that supports it all? The logistics, the digital backbone?
Right, the engines behind the scenes. And that's where Texas as a whole, and DFW especially, is just an undeniable powerhouse, industrial and data centers.
Seeing a lot of construction there too.
Massive jump in industrial construction in Q2 2025 across Texas. Dallas alone at 15.4 million square feet underway. Think
Yeah.
huge distribution networks. Amazon just opened a new center in Terrell near Dallas.
And major leases being signed.
Yep. Stonemont Financial Group signed a big one, almost 300,000 square feet down in Willmar. Lots of activity.
And data centers, that's been a hot sector everywhere.
Exceptionally strong here. Dallas absorbed 575 megawatts in just the first half of 2025.
That's a staggering amount of power capacity. Shows the intense demand for that digital infrastructure.
It really does. These are those critical, sometimes unseen pieces that just underpin DFW's whole economic draw.
A very interconnected picture of growth.
Now, while DFW is clearly showing this remarkable momentum, we absolutely need to understand the broader context, the economic currents, the new regulations shaping the whole CRE market, especially in Texas.
Because no market operates in a vacuum.
Right, exactly. So first, the economic backdrop. The federal funds rate currently sits between 4.25% and 4.50%. That's as of early September 2025. The Fed held steady after their August meeting.
And what about commercial mortgage rates? What are investors actually paying?
As of early September, they were starting as low as 5.15%. There's definitely some hope, some anticipation for a rate cut later this year. Some reports even suggest a 50 basis point cut for 2025 might be possible.
That potential for rate cuts definitely influences strategy.
For sure. And this whole environment is causing institutional investors to shift focus strategically. They're moving more towards stable, predictable assets.
Like what specifically?
Single tenant, net lease properties, industrial, necessity-based retail things we've talked about. And also a noticeable interest in assets that are ripe for conversion, adapting old buildings for new uses.
It's a move to insulate portfolios, find stability in a climate that still has some question marks, despite the optimism in places like DFW.
Right. It's about risk management and finding value.
And this really brings those larger trends into focus. It also raises that key question for anyone investing or developing in Texas.
How do these wider financial conditions and new rules actually impact your strategy on the ground?
Exactly. Understanding these nuances isn't just academic. It's critical for assessing risk properly and finding genuinely good opportunities. Even a small potential rate cut can change the math on underwriting, especially for big projects.
And Texas isn't just reacting, it's acting legislatively too. Two significant new state laws just took effect September 1st, 2025. They will definitely impact the CRE landscape.
Okay, what are they?
First is Senate Bill 17. This law basically prohibits people, companies, and government-linked entities connected to China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia from buying most types of real estate in Texas.
Most types.
Including commercial.
Yes, including commercial property. There are very limited exceptions, like maybe an individual on a student or work visa buying a single home. But generally, it restricts acquisitions by entities tied to those specific countries.
That's a significant move aimed at protecting state interests, presumably.
That appears to be the intent. Now, the second law is Senate Bill 840. This one is really interesting for development, especially related to housing.
How so?
It's designed to make it easier to convert existing commercial properties, think older office buildings, maybe struggling retail centers, into multifamily or mixed use.
Streamlining the process. Exactly. It limits how much cities can restrict things like height, density, parking requirements, setbacks, specifically for these residential conversion projects.
So it's trying to remove some barriers to adaptive reuse.
Right. It's a direct response to the state's housing needs, trying to encourage developers to repurpose existing buildings within cities, making it more predictable to bring new housing online. A potentially powerful tool.
Unlocking value in underused assets, essentially.
Precisely. Now, despite all this growth and planning, we have to be realistic. It's not all smooth sailing everywhere, even within Texas. There are areas of caution.
Which highlights the need for that detailed submarket analysis you mentioned earlier.
Absolutely critical. For example, we are seeing an uptick in defaults and foreclosures in certain parts of the Texas multifamily market. Over $710 million in CRE loans were scheduled for foreclosure auctions just in September.
Ouch. Any specific type of property affected most?
Seems to be hitting recently built apartment complexes pretty hard, especially those financed back in 2022-2023 when rates were lower. Now they're struggling with the higher interest burden.
A tough reminder that timing and financing structure are absolutely crucial, even in a generally strong market.
Definitely. And another contrast. While DFW's office market has bright spots, Houston's office market still struggling quite a bit.
Yeah, hearing reports of properties selling at steep discounts there.
Big discounts. Many 30%, even 70% below pre-pandemic values. And their office vacancy rate is stubbornly high, around 21%.
That really underscores the difference between metros, even in the same state. What works in DFW doesn't automatically apply elsewhere.
You absolutely need that granular market-specific insight.
No doubt about it.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we've seen a really compelling picture, haven't we? Dallas-Fort Worth, especially its retail sector, really stands out, a leader in growth and opportunity.
Set against that backdrop of broader national trends and the evolving real estate world, DFW's magnetism is undeniable.
For corporations, for retail development, and that strength across industrial, multifamily, data centers. It makes it a truly exceptional, dynamic market.
A lot happening all at once.
So we really hope you, listening, can take these insights from the specifics of DFW retail to those statewide regulatory changes and use them to sharpen your own strategies, your own decisions.
Because the CRE landscape is always evolving.
Yes. And as DFW keeps redefining urban and suburban retail, keeps attracting all this investment, the question isn't just, you know, where's the next immediate opportunity?
It's bigger than that.
It is. It's how will all these converging trends, the demographics, the economic energy, the legislative shifts, how will they fundamentally reshape our communities and commerce over the next decade?
That's the long-term question to ponder.
Exactly. What kind of innovative retail or mixed-use concepts tailored precisely to these shifting demands do you envision thriving in this incredibly dynamic DFW environment? Something to think about.